broadcasting worldwide from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
And a very pleasant good morning to you. 30 seconds ago, it was exactly 9 o'clock Central Time. I mean, you can set your watch to it, because we do Big Bend. Yeah, we do Big Bend time around here, and I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just Tuesday. Almost done with November. It'd be fun to get into December. December 1st will be here, 30 days out of November, April, June. On Thursday, Dr. Richard Massey will be here in the studio. We're planning on getting I think we're going to do an EDTA IV drip during the show. Dr. Massey, he always brings over his paraphernalia and we hook up, get an IV drip or a vitamin C drip or something during the show. It's fun. Well, you might as well. Tomorrow, Andrew Goss in The Real World of Money and Ron Hera, he's going to talk a lot about silver, high yield silver, silver investing. So that'll be fun. We like silver. And in 1 hour, we're going to talk to Holick. This guy knows vitamin D, Michael Holick. A lot about vitamin D. And right now, we're going to talk to an old friend who, gosh, it's been a while. Up near Rockford, Michigan, Dr. Kenneth Sutter, DocSutter.com. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Patrick.
What's up, brother?
Not much. The cold weather's coming in today.
Michigan, the cold weather comes in September.
Well, not this year. It was pretty good.
Was it?
We had a really good fall this year, but it's over with, and they're predicting snow for today. So another 3-4 months of winter, and that's the frustrating part of it. It lasts so long.
Rockford, where is that?
That's just north of Grand Rapids in West Michigan.
West.
The good side of the state.
The good side of the state. Yeah, but it does get cold up there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Beautiful state, and it's a wonderful part of the world, you know, the Great Lakes region. It's mm-hmm. I like it up here. It's just January and February get awful long, that's all.
So it's getting dark around 3 o'clock, right?
Yeah, well, about 5, really. So about 5 o'clock.
It's time to go to bed, you know. God, it's crazy.
Makes for a long evening.
Yeah. Well, Doc Sutter is an interesting man. He has two books. He wrote a book some years ago called It's Just Not Illegal to Be Healthy. And then his latest one is The Paradigm Shift, and he has a new second edition coming out on that. He has some CDs and stuff, and Doc was in Vietnam to give you a little update, and he came back, and he had bugs all over his body, and we've talked to him before about that. Yeah, some of the stories he tells about how many bugs you got out, man, it was like, holy cow.
Over 20 pounds worth.
That's just amazing. I mean,
it is.
It's like, do you work with vets now at all?
A little bit. Most of the Vietnam guys that we could help are no longer here. So, you know, it was a little late for them, but I've been trying to get in with the Gulf War guys.
Yeah.
But they got a pretty tight grip on them, you know, the VA and the medics, and it's difficult to do. The ones that listen, yeah, we can fix them up. But it's not easy. The brainwash is so complete and the control is so complete, it's difficult to crack that nut, you know, to get in there.
Oh, so even the vets, when they're feeling bad and sick, it's hard for them to get their arms around the idea that it could have happened over there and other people other than the VA can help them.
Exactly. Again, you're bucking up against the powers that run the world, you know, and it's a tough job to do. And the suicide rate is going through the roof with these guys. I don't know if you've been keeping track of that, but the Afghan guys, the Iran guys,
really?
Anybody coming back from the Gulf War, the suicide rate is through the roof. And I understand why. My goodness, as a Vietnam vet, we only had the Agent Orange and Paraquat. These guys are just getting, it's just ridiculous. And, of course, the post-traumatic stress gets you, too.
So, Doc, you're saying not only is it the post-traumatic stress, stress, the spiritual, emotional, mental component. But then you guys in Vietnam, you had Paraquat and Ancient Orange, and now here, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, what are they dealing with as far as chemicals and stuff?
Well, they're getting the vaccinations, number one, for anthrax.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're using chemical warfare over there, plus depleted uranium.
Yeah.
That,
do you have any idea what that does, Doc Sutter?
Oh, yeah.
Do we know?
It causes cancer. It's uranium.
Yeah.
And it ruins the liver and the lungs, and I mean, it's just nuts. Now, the post-traumatic stress stuff, that's something you just, you know, I dealt with it years ago now, but still the memory of it is just Galloway, a guy named Galloway. The History Channel just had a thing on Vietnam, Vietnam in HD,
mm-hmm.
and he put it very succinctly about being in war and all that stuff. There's things that you see that you just can't stay neutral on, and you have to be a part of them, and you can't separate that stuff from yourself, and that's, you know, it covers the whole thing. It's just a bad memory, and you're part of it, and that's a problem. It's not much of a problem for me anymore. I can remember it, and I, you know, like anybody else has bad memories. It's just a bad memory. It's not a reactive deal.
Right.
Because I've confronted all that stuff and gotten rid of it. But there's a way out of it either way. There's a way out of the chemical poisoning. There's a way out of parasite infestation. And there's a way out of post-traumatic stress. And I've done them all, and I'm here, and it's really nice being here, you know. I've mm-hmm. been back for over 6 years now. And it's just a, it's just wonderful.
What kind of things did you do, Doc Sutter, to separate yourself from the memories so that you weren't, as you said, reactive? You can remember them, you know, I can remember, but it's not a reactive, detrimental thing to you. What did you do?
Well, a post-traumatic stress incident is you're not in control anymore. The first one I had was probably 2001. And I thought I'd handled the war pretty good because mm-hmm. I didn't have any nightmares about it, no mm-hmm. night sweats or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got physically healthy and got rid of the chemicals and parasites, then the post-traumatic stress hit. I went home after work on a Saturday, and my wife jumped out of the shadows and goes, boo. You know, she was just playing around. She didn't know what she was doing, and I didn't expect anything. But for the next 2.5 hours, I was in Cambodia. May 10th, 1970, we almost got overrun. We had a broken arrow incident, and the firebase almost got overrun, and I was there for 2.5 hours, and I couldn't control it.
What do you mean you were there?
I was mentally there. You know, I knew I was sitting in my recliner next to my fireplace looking out my picture window at the fall colors, beautiful fall colors here in Michigan, but I was in Cambodia. I couldn't talk. I couldn't let go of the arms of this chair. I mean, it was terrible.
Really?
And it ruins your life. I mean, for the next few years until I got on top of it, it just ruins your life, especially when you're driving. When one of those things hits when you're driving.
Don't operate heavy machinery.
Oh, you just hang on for dear life, and you get scared, and the paranoia starts, and you're afraid to drive on the highway.
Wow.
It's just nuts. The post-traumatic stress is a legitimate deal.
Sure,
these
sure.
These guys that suffer with it. Yeah,
sure.
It's terrible, terrible to go through.
So you're sitting in this chair, and you're experiencing Cambodia, and do you know you're still in Michigan? Or?
Oh, yeah. You're fully aware of where you're at, and you're trying to talk yourself out of it. You're
right.
Trying to talk, well, look, I'm in Michigan. You're going, I'm sitting
this
here.
Is okay. I'm not in Cambodia.
I'm not in Cambodia, but you are in Cambodia. That's the reactive part of your mind. You know, you're just totally emotionally reactive to that trauma. And to that heightened, well, awareness deal. And that's the day I woke up, May 10th, 1970, in Cambodia. And within a week, I started getting cognitions on how this old world really works.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, so in Cambodia is when you just had an aha moment and you kind of woke up from a sleep, you mean?
Well, it was more than an aha moment. It was the elevated necessity levels you get. Oh, what I call the gifts of war. You get a heightened awareness. You get psychic.
Uh-huh.
You no longer need to use words to communicate with people, with your buddies and everything.
Sure, sure.
And it's, you literally wake up on all levels, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, and you surprise yourself on how good you really are when the chips are on the down, you know, when the chips are down. It's really, it's quite an experience to go through, and I don't, wish that on anybody else to go to a war to get that experience.
Yeah, better go to Hawaii or something. You know?
Yeah, you know, there's easier ways to do it. But it's nasty. But to get rid of the post-traumatic stress, it's just confrontational therapy. You have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years later, in May, my brother from New York called, and he said, "Hey, Kenny, I got prostate cancer." Well, he knew I had eliminated my liver cancer, so I said, "Look, Craig, you know, I got a program for you. Why don't you do this, and it'll be gone in a year, and you'll be fine." Well, he didn't. He went and got the prostate surgery. But I sat down and wrote him a letter. I said, "Look, I'm not the guy you grew up with because of Vietnam, because of what I saw over there and what I went through over there. So please listen to me and do this, because he's my little brother, and little brothers don't listen to big brothers."
No, they never.
And so I wrote him that letter, but that started me on a six-month journey of confronting the war, just head-on, because I knew I was psychic, and I knew I had this heightened awareness, and, of course, the post-traumatic stress disorder. So I just looked at it. And I looked at the Cambodia thing. You know, we got hit by friendly fire up in the highlands outside of An K. We were in a few firefights down in the Ho Chi Minh Trail, northwest of Saigon, with the 1st and 7th Air Cav. You know, I just looked at it and kept on looking at it and look at it. I used L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics as my reference on it, and I just looked at it and ran the engrams. And it took 6 months to do, and I wrote it all out at the time. It was only about 20 pages, but I'd look at it, and then I'd do as much as I could, and then I'd have to take a break. I wouldn't touch it for 2 weeks, then go back to it. But after that 6 months, the post-traumatic stress was gone. I had no more reaction to it. You know, my wife could jump out of the shadows and go boo, and I didn't go back to Cambodia.
You know? L. Ron, you said you ran the engrams.
Dianetics, yeah.
Yeah, what is? How does that work?
Well, read the book.
No, I don't want to read the whole book. Just give us a short story. How does it work to you? Just
well, your mind is reactive. You have he calls it the bank, the reactive mind. That's not what you're in control of. It's the subconscious mind. What you would understand is the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then there's the analytical mind. That's the mind you're using right now, and that's the mind you're supposed to use. But when you have these traumatic experiences that either have pain in them, a lot of trauma, a little bit of unconsciousness or lowered consciousness, they become reactive, and you can't control them anymore. Your analytical mind is no longer in control of that. And then when you get into a similar situation, bingo, you get reactive, and you're right back to the original thing. Anyway, it's complicated to explain, but it works. It's basically confrontational therapy, which goes back to the old Christian confessional. You know, if you really think about it,
mm-hmm.
You know, you got to look at these things and you got to confess them and you got to take ownership of them, and then you'll get relief from them.
Yeah. Do you know, I used to play around with some fears that I had, and I think I did the same thing and I didn't even know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Where I would sit in the dock and just be quiet, and this fear would come, and then I would just there look at it, you know?
Look at it, yeah.
Just look at it and be with it and say, what is that? Well, that's interesting.
And where'd it come from?
Where'd it come from, and is it there? Can I touch it? Is it separate from me? And I did the whole thing with some fears, and they just go away.
Well, what's interesting about it?
I guess they do, because they aren't real, and as long as you don't resist them, then they go away.
Well, what's interesting about it is you're taking responsibility for it.
Uh-huh.
And once you take responsibility for it, God shows you who's really responsible for it. God, or however you want to understand what that is. I get a kick out of the religions nowadays all arguing about God. It's, well, go to war. Be in a few firefights. You'll discover who God is.
Was that old thing, there's no atheists in the foxholes?
There isn't either. You know, I met God May 10th, 1970.
Hello, and, God.
It's kind of a surprise, but you meet him. And you know, when it's you or him and you pull the trigger, you meet God. And it's a tough thing to do, but, you know, you're in a situation where there's no other choice. It's either you or him, and I survived it.
You or him, you mean the enemy, the guys that are shooting at you.
Yeah. Hmm. And then you get to the point where you realize that God loves the enemy as much as you.
Yeah.
And that it's all a con by the bankers.
And the gods are not on anybody's side, right?
No, he just... feeling sorry for you. Lots of compassion on the battlefield.
So, 15 minutes after the hour with Doc Sutter, Dr. Kenneth Sutter. His latest book is the revised edition of The Paradigm Shift, and he's been doing some interesting stuff with magnesium we're going to talk about. If you have a question, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Doc, I have a friend of mine who was in Vietnam, and he's my age, 65, and he's in a wheelchair now, and oh gosh, he's been to the Mayo Clinic, and he's been everywhere, and they just don't know why he's gradually lost his legs and his stuff.
That's Agent Orange.
And, well, that's what I thought too, and I got that because of talking to you and also Harvey Diamond.
Yeah.
Right? And it's so interesting. God love him. I've talked to him about it and mentioned it to him, and he won't hear it, you know.
Well, it's tough, you know, because they get, my own brother, who was born and raised chiropractic, wouldn't hear it either. And I've got a chapter in the second edition of the Paradigm Shift book called, it's about the group dynamic. Experiential versus credentialed/positioned and the group dynamic. Long title, but basically people need to be part of a group. It's a survival mechanism the same way as individual survival in a battlefield or survival as a family unit. It's the same exact thing. And people, it's hard to get them to let go of that without them going to a new group. They have to be part of a group. And, you have to be, I have to be, and we all are. But it's a very strong survival mechanism. And in order to go our way, the natural healing way, you've got to turn your back on a lot of things. You've got to turn your back on the medical profession,
Sometimes family, I guess.
Family, well, I see that family, military, the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big, request from somebody. It's a hell of a journey on the way back if you're that sick. And it's not easy, it's not fun, and it takes a long time. But you got to turn your back on so many things that are the accepted norm of society. It's a problem, and it's a big problem.
And then I guess when you're sick and feeling terrible and maybe scared and God knows what else you're going through, then it's really difficult to do that.
Well, wars, cure for war would be to send the creators of the war to war.
There you go.
You
guys go and work it out.
Yeah. Send all these old farts living over in Europe off to the front lines.
Yeah.
Have them see their buddies get blown away. And it's not nice. And it ruins people. And it ruins you mentally. And you got to be really tough to get on top of that. And, not saying I'm really tough, but you do get tough in a war. You're much more powerful and much better than you ever thought you could be. And you live with that the rest of your life, and you know that, and therefore it's hard to listen to people complain.
Yeah.
But it's not fun.
And, Doc, don't you think in a sense, it's similar as life is when we have challenges that are uncomfortable and we don't like and such, we do them. And even when there are unknowns and we don't know what the results are going to be, but we do them because we believe we should, and we do get stronger, right? We all get stronger from them.
Well, the religions have done an excellent job telling people how weak they are.
And one
of the things I harp on, you're stronger than you think you are, you're stronger than you think you are. I constantly say that because you are. And when the chips are down, you will do the right thing.
You will do the right thing.
And you will. It could, because you are a strong spiritual being. You're powerful. There's nothing more powerful on the planet than you are. And it's tough getting through. The religions have done an excellent job of, bringing people down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, with sin and all that stuff, guilt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, let's not even go there.
Yeah, we won't go there. I know it's tough. Well, I think it's somehow, what were some of the things that you did or to go through to self-love, to like Doc Sutter, to not be down on you for and all that? Because that's a big one as well.
Oh, people are very tough on themselves, and it's not their fault. And I get a kick out of these people that say, you people deserve Obama because you voted for him. Well, that's a lie. You know, people don't have a chance nowadays. I mean, there's, you know, mass drugging in society has been going on since the 50s. You know, so you got 3-4 generations. People don't have they don't have a chance. And they're much stronger. We didn't elect Obama. You know, we didn't elect these politicians. We don't have much of a choice. The elections have been rigged for 50 years. You know, it's not the people's fault. They can't think right because they're so loaded up with chemicals and drugs. Yeah, that guy you had on yesterday with the HDD, yeah, he was a pretty good guy.
Look what's going on in schools, isn't it amazing?
But most of that HDD, whatever it is.
Now,
that's from the vaccinations and the drugs these kids are on.
Well, I'm sure that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
That wakes these people up, and they just don't function correctly. And like in autism, you see the people, they might be autistic, but they have these skills that are, you know, very elevated.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that's the drugs and everything. I was going to email you, but I got busy here.
Well, yeah, we didn't even go there. We were really dealing with things on the emotional, spiritual, mental level, Doc Sutter. And I think we just mentioned it towards the end, but that's a whole other component to it, the chemicals and the vaccines. And that even makes the whole, whatever the syndrome they think people have, more difficult, right?
Right, but he talked a lot of sense, and I enjoyed listening to him.
I liked him. I thought he was cool. I never thought about it the way he did, where these little beans are very creative and productive. And I thought it was great what he said was, it's not that iPads and Twitter and Facebook and the internet and all the video games made the kids ADD. It's the kids that are ADD has created the iPad.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat, too.
The iPad, the video games.
They created entertainment for themselves.
That's right. They gave themselves something to do, you know,
because
they're creative. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good people, though. I got a lot of them as patients, and they're good people. Matter of fact, right next door to my office here is a computer place, and I go over there and talk with the geeks all the time. Now, they're pretty smart people.
And so do some of those folks have difficulty navigating in the world?
Oh, sure they do. And they stay in their own little world, but their world is getting to be our world.
Yeah.
And they run our world with all their computers and gadgets. And very smart people. And they know what's going on in the world, too. They know about the New World Order. They know what's going on. They aren't dumb. You can't get much by these people. Pretty smart folks.
But they're able to kind of stay in their geeky world and do their geeky things, and they're okay with that.
Yeah, they're fine with it. Now, later on in life, they get up from 40, 50 years old, and they'll realize the importance of the physical being, because at 20, 30 years old, you don't have to pay much attention to that. But you get a little older, and all that's going to catch up to them physically. You know, the lack of exercise, the poor diet, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll catch up to them eventually, but right now, they own the show. And they're doing a pretty good job of it, too.
Hmm.
I have a lot of respect for them.
Here's an email from Geneva, Switzerland. You ever been over there, Doc?
No, never been there.
Well, this is Max. He says, please ask, sir, get some opinions on the remarks about the Russian Sputnik zappers to expel worms from the liver, gallbladder, pancreas, ducts, and other hard-to-reach places.
Yeah, the Sputnik thing is an electrically charged thing you swallow, and as it goes through your digestive system, it kills the parasites. It's like a Hulda Clark zapper, only on the inside it's done internally. Then you poop it out, and you wash it up, sterilize it again, and do it about 2 or 3 times in a row, and it will kill the parasites in your digestive system.
Did you ever do that?
No, I didn't. Barefoot has.
Uh-huh.
I learned about it from him. But I never had to do that. By the time I learned about Barefoot, I had all the bugs gone.
Yeah. He's speaking of a fellow up in Ohio called Barefoot New. What's his name? Barefoot Herbalist that we used to have on the show. Yeah, I ordered one of those Sputniks some years ago, and I guess you can find them online. Not sure, but I couldn't swallow it.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
I just couldn't get it down. I tried.
And I don't think, you know, most people don't need that degree of it. But they work. It's an excellent therapy. It works, and it'll kill the bugs.
Huh. You want to hear a little bug story, parasite story?
Sure.
I went to a friend of mine who's got a little natural food store over in Marble Falls when I was over to see my dentist. He's a real good kinesiologist, Doc Sutter, where he looks at your, he holds your fingers and says, oh, touch his little vials. I said, do this, here, touch this. Boom, boom, you know, pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
He said, well, you got 4 different parasites, and he wrote them down for me, And he said, let's go over and see what's going to be the best things for you. And we went through a lot of his things, and he picked out one. And it was an Artemisia, A-R-T-E-M-S-C.
Ooh, that stuff's expensive.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I was supposed to take 12 a day, because he tests you and see how many did he take, 12 a day for 90 days.
Yeah.
So I do this, and about 70 days into it, this creepy worm comes out of my body. It was about 10 inches long.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Oh, I know.
Oh, well, I could believe, I don't know.
Well, people see this stuff coming out of them, and number one, it grosses them out. Number two, it's visible proof of why they don't feel good. You know, because you can sense when something's not right inside.
Oh.
And you think, you know, the medics are telling, well, you need this drug, that drug. Well, what the medics have done, they've taken things out of the cure bracket and put it into the, oh, you just have to know, you just have to know what it is.
What's that?
The medics have taken health care
right out
of people trying to find a cure for their problem.
Oh, and they just, because we have
it's just knowing what the problem is.
Yeah, right.
See? So, but the bugs, I've heard some amazing stories. It's just nuts. But my own story is amazing. You know, 22 pounds in 3 months.
Well, that's just crazy. That's just crazy.
Nuts.
I mean, and you got all those bugs because of your weakened system with all the chemicals, you think, the Ancient Orange and
well, I was in the jungle. And every morning in the jungle, we'd wake up, we'd have parasites on us.
Oh, great. You know,
little bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd light a smoke, and we'd have to touch the parasite, and it would fall right off.
Mm-hmm.
If you tried to pull it off, it took a nice chunk of your skin off. So I knew I had picked up the parasites in the jungle, and plus I was the medic, and I used isopropyl alcohol every day, because going through the jungle, we'd all get scratched up by the wait-a-minute vines. And, you know, you use the isopropyl alcohol to disinfect the wounds, the little wounds we all got.
Right.
So I was just loaded with the alcohol and getting bugs every day. And they laid their eggs under my skin, and bingo, they got to the liver, and that's that. That's the name of that game.
And that alcohol, what's the connection there with the alcohol and the
bugs?
Well,
the alcohol dissolves the parasite's eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it dissolves the shell of the egg, the cyst, because a parasite, when it's normal... It's normal to have parasites.
Yeah, everybody's got them.
Yeah,
right?
But they're supposed to stay in a cystic stage, which is an egg stage, while they're in your body. Then you poop them out, and then they go into their next stage. There's about five or six different stages in their life cycle.
Right.
But the alcohol dissolves that cyst, and then the egg gets absorbed, the parasite gets absorbed into the bloodstream. And, of course, your liver is the filter, and they filter it out in the liver, and that's where they set up shop and commence to ruining your life.
So that's the work of Hulda Clark.
Yep, yeah. And that's a monumental work.
She was on that. She figured out.
Yeah.
So what you mean, are you talking beer and JB and vodka does that?
No, not grain alcohol, isopropyl alcohol.
Isopropyl.
A solvent. Things that dissolve things, usually from a petroleum distillate.
Well, and what would be other sources of that people would want to stay away from, Doc Sutter?
Oh, gasoline, motor oil, anything.
I see.
Your soaps aren't too bad with the lye in it. They're pretty safe. But any, isopropyl alcohol, what do the girls use for their what's it called?
They have that. They have that isopropyl alcohol in a lot of different skincare products.
Oh yeah,
you have to be careful.
And the nail polish remover.
You don't want any of that stuff.
No.
So explain what it does with the eggs.
It dissolves the cyst of the parasite.
Okay.
The parasite, while it's in the human body, is supposed to be in a cyst that's an egg.
Right.
And. If
and it's okay because there's billions of them, right?
Oh yeah. And that's the normal life cycle of a parasite.
Right.
And then once you eliminate them, they get into their next phase of their life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have this solvents in your systems that dissolves the cyst, and then the parasite gets absorbed like everything else does, and they end up in your liver.
Uh-huh.
And bingo, you know. And then Clark's work, you know, they secrete number one ammonia,
mm-hmm.
number two. Various chemicals that cause immature cellular mitosis at distant from the liver. So it literally causes cancer. Immature cellular mitosis is when the cell multiplies before it's mature enough to perform its biological function.
Isn't that wild that you could get isopropyl alcohol or even mechanics, you know, getting swapped in motor oil?
Oh, yeah.
And those kind of things that it could actually then connect that with cancer?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing work.
Yeah. Well, she spent most of her life, didn't she, doing that?
Yeah.
Working on that?
But I think they got to her at the end, because at the end she wasn't making a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, we interviewed her. We have some interviews on the website, and she was just brilliant, brilliant. But, God love her, boy. She did what she needed to do here.
And oh, yeah. I was
helped when
she
a lot
went,
of people.
When she went to jail, I was contributing a couple hundred a month to her defense fund, and, you know, wonderful, wonderful. She saved my life.
Yeah.
You know, her research saved my life and thousands of other people too, because I've been teaching this for 10 years now, and we've saved an awful lot of people. And it's a fun thing to do.
Well, what else are you going to do in Rockford, Michigan? Make shoes, I guess.
The thing is, it's interesting. Most of my patients are from other parts of the world.
Really?
I got some, even Cambodia, China, Malaysia, on the East Coast, Maine and New Jersey and down in Tennessee and Texas, Florida. But we get them on the program, and it works. And so far, everyone that was diagnosed with terminal didn't die.
Terminal liver cancer.
Terminal any cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Terminal liver cancer, breast cancer, doesn't matter. Colon, it just doesn't matter. The whole idea is clean and feed it, and that's what we do, and these people don't die. But then the war starts with them mentally. Because then they can actually see, hey, my doctor was going to kill me, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's on the same par as what I went through in Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up when you realize someone tried to kill you.
All right, Doc, stay right there, Dr. Kenneth Sutter. It's always a pleasure to have a doc on. We always learn some new things. His website is docsutter.com. Starting to get some orders in now again. For the far infrared sauna, didn't sell very many. Of course, over the summer here in Texas, we had our own little far infrared sauna. Just go outside. It was 100 degrees for 3 months or 4 months. Crazy. But now I'm going in every other day as the weather has, we get down to about 40 now, 35 at night these days, and back up to 65. Beautiful winters here in central Texas. It's lovely, you know, nice and cool, but these far infrared saunas, like just amazing with them. So if you can do some detoxification like Doc's talking about with the liver, gallbladder, those kinds of things, colon, and then you can also sweat through your skin where you do not have the kidney liver thing protocol. You don't have to burden that, and you can just move things out. Dr. Hal Huggins and others have said is one of the primary way. Daniel Vitalis, many people, the lady Sherry Rogers, go on and on. I can't remember the next one I was thinking of, but they'll tell you that sweating is the number one way to detoxify from things that we are exposed to day in and day out. That would be sulfur dioxide from the coal-fired plants, mercury, and just yuck, you know, God knows what, in the air and water and who knows where we pick up stuff. So there you have it. These are portable. So there's no wood involved. So they're under $1,000, and they truly work. And they look nice. I'm moving mine from my big bathroom over in my master bedroom. I moved into a smaller bedroom in the main house for the winter. And I'm just going to move it into a hallway underneath a stairway. And it just fits right in there real nice. It looks fine. And you can put them anywhere because they're all self-contained, so it's not like you're not going to get any moisture. I mean, if your bedroom's big enough, you can put it right in there. Look at these online, and they truly work. And boy, and for this price, $935 delivered with the promo code ONERADIO. That's $935 delivered with the promo code ONERADIO. Right on the front page, the Relax Far Red for Rent Sauna on OneRadioNetwork.com. And speaking of the immune system, Patrick Timpone with Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith. He formulated the Sirthrival Colostrum, available on OneRadioNetwork.com. Doc, tell us about how the baby cows are really building their immune system with this colostrum that you all have freeze-dried.
Well, now think about it. A baby calf doesn't even have an immune system when they're first born.
Nothing.
They literally have their immune systems jump-started and their growth factors jump-started by getting colostrum. And if they don't get it, there's almost an 85% mortality rate. That's why we make sure that they get theirs and we take the remainder.
Has science shown that this is really works for humanoids?
Absolutely. There is a tremendous amount of research through Cornell University and others showing it has a direct impact on the immune system.
And that is the colostrum. It is freeze-dried. It is very, very nice tasting. And it is available through SirThrival. You'll see the ad right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
We hope you're enjoying the program on One Radio Network, sponsored by USGoldCoins.com. At USGoldCoins.com, we provide the best in gold and silver coins, and we've been doing so for over 30 years. Perhaps you're a first-time investor to gold and silver. Perhaps you've been considering adding physical wealth to your portfolio. If you've had any hesitancies at all about looking into this market, now would be a great time to give us a call. 1-800-878-2646 or log on at usgoldcoins.com. We'd be happy to help educate you and provide you with the best in gold and silver coins. Call us today at 1-800-878-2646. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a first-time person to the entire market of gold and silver, we want to be your resource. And you can reach us toll-free, 1-800-878-2646.
All right, let's see what's going on in the world. Gold and silver, that's about even today. Nothing going on much. 1708 for gold, 3178 for silver. And the crude oil is up 70 cents, almost $100. Dollar is about even today. So there you have it from usgoldcoins.com.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
Talk to Patrick now, 888-663-6386, or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
With Dr. Kenneth Sutter having some fun. He's up there in Rockford. They make the Hush Puppies, right, Doc?
Hush Puppy Shoes, worldwide headquarters.
The worldwide headquarters. Any idea how many people they employ?
Well, they used to employ a lot. Now, that's an interesting story when NAFTA came through.
Ah, that sucking sound that Ross Perot talked about?
Yeah, their headquarters are here, but they make the shoes elsewhere.
Oh.
So I had quite a few of the executives as patients here, too, while they were doing all that transfer, you know. And it was pitiful to see.
Did they used to make the shoes there?
Oh, yeah.
And then what happened when NAFTA came in?
Well, they went to Mexico.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Pretty simple. Mexico, China. Yeah.
And you know, they're still pushing this free trade thing everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
These politicians. And Andrew talks about it because the corporations are in Mexico or in China. It's going to be taxes, and it's just, what a scam, huh, Doc?
Well, the thing was all by design. I watched Iron Mountain 1 and 2 back in the 80s, and they said they were going to do this, and sure enough, they did it.
Sure, sure.
Now, you just talked about that infrared thing with the sweating. The sweating is excellent at getting rid of all these isopropyl alcohol, all the solvents.
Oh, it does. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They evaporate right out of there, and that's one of the... Sweating goes back a history a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Indians, the sweat lodge and everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it goes back a long way, but it's excellent at getting rid of heavy metals and the solvents.
Yeah, yeah. Did you do some sweating stuff when you were doing your thing, or did you just go right through the liver?
I did that a long time ago, back in the 80s, yeah, before I got into the bug killers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, sweating is part of it, and I was an exercise freak. I was obsessed with exercise.
Uh-huh.
But having cancer, I understand that now. Why? I'd have to go out on the golf course just about every night, walk up and down the hills. Oxygen, cancer can't grow in a high-oxygen environment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was obsessed with exercise because I knew I had the cancer. And I didn't know I was obsessed with the exercise, but I'd get on my rebounder for a half hour every night, if I wasn't on the golf course. And I was just obsessed with it, keeping my oxygen levels up to keep the cancer in control until I found out what was causing cancer. And then I got rid of the Agent Orange and Paraquat, got rid of the parasites, and bingo, the cancer's gone.
How do you increase the oxygen with your patients now, cancer patients? How do you do that?
Lymphatic movement, walking, rebounding.
Rebounding, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rebounding's the best exercise there is.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
So even walking is just really good, isn't it, Doc?
Yeah. What happens if they're too sick to even do that, though? You get in a rocking chair.
Mm-hmm.
You just rock. And
yeah.
That pumps the lymphatics and moves the cerebral spinal fluid. Anyway, this is all covered in my book. The second edition of the Paradigm Shift book is out this week. And matter of fact, I'll be getting it at the office this
cool.
week. And
folks can get this on your website, DocSutter.com, right?
Right. It's on the website now. It's on Kindle. I've got it on Kindle. And the publisher's going to put it everywhere else. I don't know, Google or whatever.
Wherever.
Internet stores and Barnes & Noble and all that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, folks, this would be a great book for you to give somebody who maybe, well, yourself, but also somebody who's just kind of dipping their toe in the water with more alternative things, wouldn't it be, Doc? It'd be
oh, yeah, one. And that's yeah. what it's for.
It's really for mainstream America, isn't
see,
it?
See, I'm preaching to the choir right now.
Sure, sure.
But y'all, your folks know about this stuff, but as a chiropractor, I get new patients every day, and they're just dumb when it comes to this stuff. They're totally ignorant of it.
Yeah.
Every day I take people off the meds because they just don't know. So the book is written for that category of people that don't know anything about it. But everybody needs to read it. What is the medical paradigm? You could go into your medical doctor tomorrow and ask him, well, Doc, hey, what's the medical paradigm? He won't be able to tell you. And most people in natural healing don't know what the natural healing paradigm is. So it's a pretty important book, and it clarifies a lot of issues, and it makes things simple. It's not a complicated deal, and yet once you get into natural healing, of course, you know how complicated it gets. But the fundamentals are basic, and they're easy to understand, and they work. It doesn't require any belief. All it requires is you do it.
Yeah, well, now you're talking. Yeah, what are the toughest things with your patients, the most challenging things?
Getting them off drugs. I was poisoned with the Agent Orange and Paraquat. Now, that was pretty bad. And I remember when I passed the Agent Orange, December 14th, 1998, the difference in the mental and spiritual outlook of life. But what I went through was nasty, but what these people are going through getting off the prescription drugs, I mean, it's pure hell, Patrick. It's nasty to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
It's much worse than what I went through.
Oh, I could imagine.
Especially the psychotropic drugs. These things get in there, and that the sweating thing helps with that too, the sauna.
Yeah.
It gets rid of these drugs out right through the skin, then it doesn't have to go through the liver. But my goodness, I feel so sorry for these folks. It took me 5 years to get healthy, and some of these people are been at it 5 years now, and they still aren't there. So it's not fun. Not fun at all, prescription drug use. And the stats on prescription drugs.
Well, it's
120,000 people a year die from prescription drugs.
Isn't that amazing?
Think
about that. 120,000 people a year die from prescription drugs. And they're sending crews out to crash down people's doors who are selling raw milk.
Oh, I know. Isn't that terrible?
It's just the most, it's like a bad movie, Doc Sutter.
It's insanity is what it is.
It's insanity.
It's hard to live in insanity.
It's like, you can't even believe what's going on.
No. You just shake your head and go.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, the second edition is the better book. It's kind of a compilation of everything I've written before. And people just need to, we need to start a real movement, the paradigm shift. There's a lot of paradigm shifts going on right now. Andy does a great job on Wednesdays explaining the paradigm and
the money
thing.
Right.
And we got to go back to real money, folks. That's a paradigm shift. Can't have this fiat stuff. Of course, politics. We got to get rid of the socialism, go back to our constitution. That's a paradigm shift. But the top paradigm shift there is your health. You got to know what your medical doctor's doing to you. You got to know what natural healing is, and it's all explained in these book. In this book, I got the second edition, which is better than the first edition, which is what I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll send you a copy of the second edition.
Yeah, do, and I'll send it to my friend up in St. Louis, a fellow, the Vietnam vet.
Yeah,
maybe Mike strike a little chord. I saw on the front page of, you know, we're broadcasting now, Doc, on Natural News Radio every morning.
Yeah, I get his newsletter.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? And on the front page of the Natural News this morning is Global Health Organization to purchase millions of toxic HPV vaccines to administer to women and girls in third world countries.
Isn't that terrible?
And we did a whole show on the HPV thing. It's just, oh, man.
It's nuts.
Can't believe it's going on.
But again, that's why this book is so important, The Paradigm Shift, because it explains why that is bad for you. I mean, you know, it's, and these rules, the first thing I go into in the book is the rules. You know, because I got frustrated with it, too. I was searching for 14 and a half years on the cure. You know, how do I get rid of this cancer? Then I finally gave up on all that, and I went right to the textbooks, right to Guyton's Physiology. Okay, what are the rules? And bingo, they're in the book. There's rules that bodies live by. And the biggest rule is you can't poison it. What's the definition of food? Food is something that's been recently alive. Anything else is a poison. Well, that kind of eliminates any kind of prescription drugs or any chemicals going in. You know, they're going to get you. And everybody knows the word carcinogen. So it's the simple stuff, the little things. People need to understand this and make that shift in their mind. And when they do make that shift in your mind, you can perceive it. And I tell the story about Jack in my office who came in back in 2006 with liver cancer. They gave him 3 months to live. And I remember when he had that shift in his mind. I said, Jack, you're not treating the disease. You're elevating your health levels. And he finally got it. And, of course, he's alive today. He's disgustingly healthy now.
Disgustingly healthy.
It's crazy. And he went to his medical doctor about a year ago. He got a complete physical. Of course, he's healthy. Pancreas is fine, liver, colon, everything's just fine. He's, you know, he's 50 years old now. And he took the results to his doctor, put it on the doctor's desk, and said, what do you think about that? So the doctor looked it over. He said, well, you're healthy. You're real healthy. Jack says, well, you want to know how I did that? And the doctor says, nope.
I don't have time for that.
Don't even want to know. So,
yeah.
And this is the guy that diagnosed him with cancer 5 years earlier.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Doc, what is some good ways to keep the liver happy other than doing a flush with the olive oil and that?
Well, there's three different flushes. There's the Koch flush, Moritz's flush, and Clark's flush. Moritz and Clark's are pretty much identical. The healthy liver is your oils. Just keep the good oils going. Organic olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
Peskin, he's got some good stuff.
You've had him
on your show. The oils are the key to keeping your liver functioning. And olive oil. Olive oil is pure liver food, you know. So, and otherwise, you really don't have to think about it much. Once you're healthy, it's easy.
How do you know if you folks, how would they know if they need to do one of these liver gallbladder flushes, things with the olive oil?
Okay, number one, there's some specific symptoms you get for the necessity to do a liver flush.
Mm-hmm.
Your food doesn't go down. You get that bloated feeling. Okay? Now, beyond that, if it goes past that, you get cold extremities. Your feet and hands are cold. You sweat, and your sweat has a real foul smell to it. And you get lethargic. You just don't have any energy for anything.
That's a sluggish liver.
Oh, yeah, that's the liver's backed up. And it's really cool when you do a flush, too, because when you're laying there on your side and the liver does open up, your feet warm up, your vision improves, you get energy. I mean, it's like your liver saying, thank you.
Yeah, we've done so many different shows. Folks can go on our website and look at Andreas Moritz, or they can listen to some of the past shows with you. Just put Doc Sutter into our search engine, and we've talked about them. Annie Jubb talks about them. You actually do one with Coke, which is just crazy.
Well, if your body can't handle 4 ounces of Coke, call the Undertaker, folks.
Okay, now tell the folks what you do, the way you've done them, and why the Coke works.
I don't know why the Coke works. I have no technical reason why it does work. I just know it does. Now, Coke originally was an herbal formula out of Atlanta, Georgia.
It's not now. It's a sugar and high fructose corn syrup and coloring.
But back in the 70s, they put the high fructose corn syrup in
it. Yeah, but you're using Coke like in 2011.
I know it. And what are you going to do? you know, having a congested liver is much worse than 4 ounces of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, sure. So how do you do it then?
Well, you'd mix, for 3 days prior to the flush, you drink 1 quart of apple cider.
Mm-hmm.
In that apple cider, you put 90 drops of Ultrafaz.
Ultrafaz.
Ultrafaz is phosphoric acid, and that's on my website. It's in my books.
And that softens up the stones?
I don't know what it does. It relaxes. Well, it softens up the stones, kind of. The malic acid in the apple cider softens up the stones. But the way I understand it, it allows the common bile duct to relax.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the musculature to relax, mm-hmm. which makes it easier to pass it through. Now, that gets a little technically complicated, which I don't want to go over there right now.
But then I think folks can also do malic acid capsules if they don't want to drink all that apple juice.
Well, there's other things in the apple juice that are good for the liver.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why an apple day keeps the doctor away.
That's right.
You know, so for 3 days before you do the flush, you drink 1 quart of apple cider with 90 drops of Ultrafaz in it, with your meals, between meals, sip on it all day, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then on your third day of drinking the apple cider, you have your evening meal, and 3 hours after that, you do the liver flush. The liver flush is 2 ounces of fresh squeezed lemon, 4 ounces of Coca-Cola, and 4 ounces of organic olive oil.
I can't believe we're recommending Coca-Cola. Okay.
I know, but I can't.
No,
either,
I'm just kidding.
It's
okay.
The easiest to do, and if you have to do a lot of flushes in a row, it's the only one you can do.
Four olive oil, 4 Coke, and 2 lemon.
Fresh squeezed lemon.
And that's amazing that you do it 3 ounces. You do it 3 hours after you eat. That's so different from the job and Moritz thing, isn't it?
I know it.
But it works.
Yeah, it works. I don't understand the Clark and Moritz protocols for the pre and post and all that stuff. I never had a problem with that. But my diet's been good forever.
Yeah.
I don't eat junk food.
Well, this one sounds easier for people.
It is easier. And what I've discovered is a lot of times, like I had to do the flush every day for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one you can do is the Coke flush then.
Oh, I see. Because the other ones, they don't recommend you do them every day at all.
No, and you're taking the Epsom salts, which is just loaded with magnesium, and you need magnesium, but too much magnesium will pull fluids from the rest of the body, and you get dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't eat that volume of magnesium every day.
Isn't that what the Ultrafast does?
Yeah.
Similar to the Moritz and Annie Jubb, Epsom salts, isn't it? I think it's similar.
Well, the Epsom salts do relax, you know.
And the bile ducts and all that.
I've become an expert on magnesium.
I know
you did. I had that magnesium deficiency last spring.
Well, we only have a few minutes remaining. Tell folks about that, because I think it's really interesting what you've been doing with magnesium.
Well, the high stress, people fall apart after the stress is over. I see it all the time in the office, and that's basically what happened to me. All the stress in my life, the war had been conquered, I've written the books, mm-hmm. everything was over,
mm-hmm.
and then I just kind of fell apart.
You just fell apart.
You know, and by the end of April, my heart wasn't beating right, it was skipping the beat, missing beats, beating too fast, pounding. It was really scary, and I couldn't work. So I went and got checked with the Meridian Diagnostic people,
mm-hmm.
and I had a 91% deficiency in magnesium.
91%.
And I should have been in the hospital, but I'm too well known around here. If they put me in a hospital, they will kill me. So
I hate it when that happens.
I know. It's not healthy.
No.
So I started on the Calm.
Calm.
C-A-L-M. It's a product. I forget who makes it.
Yeah, I've seen it in the big can.
Yeah, it's a powder.
Mm-hmm.
But magnesium citrate is the most easily absorbable.
Okay.
And even with the Calm, you only get about 30-35% absorption in it. So, and then the magnesium levels started coming, you know, back to normal almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Within 3 months, went from 91% to 25% deficient.
3 months.
By the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also discovered some transdermal magnesium from ancient minerals.
Mm-hmm.
That's magnesium chloride.
Mm-hmm.
And that can get absorbed right through your skin, and it mm-hmm. bypasses the liver. Now, that's ionic magnesium. It can be used right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't use too much of it, because it'll mess you up if you use too much. So you got to be careful with both of them. Well, the magnesium citrate, you can drink all that you want, and you're only going to absorb 30% of it anyway. And it makes your bowels loose, and I like what it says on the jar. It says, until the bowels are comfortably loose.
Comfortably loose.
That's a polite way of saying it.
Yeah. You know? So if we do magnesium citrate in capsules, you think we're only absorbing 30% of it?
Right.
Because then you just poop the other stuff out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay.
It's a mineral.
It's not that expensive, so it doesn't matter, right?
No, it's cheap. I got four big jars of it for $100.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not. And it's easy to take, and it's pleasant tasting, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
So, but getting rid of the stress is the problem. See, you have to get rid of the stress in your life, otherwise the stress depletes the magnesium. And I could get into the electronics of how that happens and everything, how the magnesium gives up its ions and its charge and all that because of the stress and blah, blah, blah. But most people have a magnesium deficiency. So
most people, yes.
Yeah, whatever. And that's just because of the stress of living in life. And not
it depletes it, right? Just because we're on planet Earth.
Right.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
The politicians know what they do, but they won't do it.
Mm. Well, of course. Well, maybe we could move somewhere else. You know of any other planets that are inviting?
Yeah, I got an email from one of my friends. Are you still on a planet? I'm still here.
We're looking for another spot. But
it would be easier to leave. But
hey, have you ever tried Dr. Sheely's magnesium lotion as opposed to the magnesium oil?
Well, I use both.
Okay. I like the old lotion better. It's not so sticky.
Yeah, no, the magnesium, you know, when I was really had the, you know, I was up 80-90% division, I used the oil every day.
Did you?
But it's sticky and it's messy. But then I got checked with the Meridian people, and they said, well, the lotion is better than the oil for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's just me specifically.
And you can put the lotion on in the morning and put your clothes on. It's not a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a little sticky, but I do it every day and once a day, but not a lot.
Let's tell the folks, I think you could go to normsheely.com, and he sells it, normsheely.com. Magnesium lotion.
Or just Google ancient minerals.
That's the oil. We were talking about the lotion.
No, that's the lotion, too. I got it right in front of me.
They have a lotion, too?
Right. That's Sealy. That's his work.
Oh, that's his stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
But he's not ancient minerals.
No, he's not ancient minerals, but you just Google it, and you'll eventually get to Sealy.
To Sheely. Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Okay, good. Yeah, he's a neat guy, isn't he? We love him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've watched some of his videos. He's just cool.
We love him.
He's arrogant.
Yeah. Gosh, he's been at it, and he doesn't take any stuff from those guys.
No, it's fun to watch.
You know, he's a kid, right? It's out there and pokes him in the nose, you know. Okay, this is tough with only 2 minutes. Well, we can go a little bit over. It's okay.
Well, I got a waiting room full of patients waiting here.
Okay. Well, let me just do this then. Arthur wants to know how we can learn more about your program and where we can find that. You talked about your program. Because you have it all on your website?
No, the program's not. What I have done is basically do personal consultations through email.
Okay.
That's how I explain the program because it gets pretty involved.
Okay.
But the program is basically clean and feed. Now, my story is in the book, the Paradigm Shift book, second edition, and the protocols necessary to do it are in there. But it's an individual thing because everybody's a little different. And what I've discovered is it's not that easy. Everybody is a little different, and you have to kind of wade your way through it.
What's your email, Doc?
Health Laws.
Health?
HealthLaws. Health Laws
mm-hmm.
at Wings, WINGS, ISP.com.
We'll put that right on the show page so folks can email you.
Mm-hmm.
Health Laws at Wings, ISP.com, and you'll get hooked up with Dr. Ken Sutter, who's in Rockford, Michigan, where they used to make hush puppies.
Well, yeah. The headquarters is here, but they don't make the shoes here
before anymore. That giant sucking sound.
But the idea now, and I've been doing this long enough now where, boy, we got to get people before they get terminal.
Yeah.
Because it's a tough road back once you're that sick. And so that's why I'm going public. I'm going to be on TV next week, and I got another radio show to do next Thursday. So we're going to start pushing the second edition here pretty good. Folks, buy it. You'll be glad you did. It's a good reference book, and It'll save your life.
It'll save yours. Well, are you going to go play doctor now?
Yeah, I got a full waiting room. My secretary's peeking in the door.
Peeking in the door, said, when are you getting off there? So are the squirrels and the bushes, you think you're going to have a cold winter? Have you seen the coats on the animals?
Well, that's what they said, but I don't know. They said it was going to be a cold fall, but we had a really beautiful fall up here.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well,
it's Michigan. We'll just take it when it gets here.
Yeah, you know, whatever comes, it comes. All right, Doc, we love you. Thank you. Have a pleasant holiday season, and we'll keep tabs on you. Make sure you're staying out of trouble up there.
All right, Patrick. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, my pleasure, sir. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Dr. Kenneth Thurman and his email, healthlaws@wingsisp.com. Once again, we'll put that on our show page. If Sharon is listening, how are you, sweetheart? She is our web designer and co-producer, and she keeps me in line and makes sure that I don't fall off the wagon of doing my job. So that would be good to put that on there, and the folks can email Dr. Sutter. We're going to talk a lot about vitamin D here with Dr. Hollick, Michael Hollick. Vitamin D is a pretty interesting contraption thing. So we're going to do all that after we take a little break here as we broadcast live every morning on naturalnewsradio.com and oneradionetwork.com. Thanks to Mike Adams and all of his work at Natural News and for allowing us the honor of being in on his organization. Every day on naturalnewsradio.com, you can look and see right all the top stories, and they're always changing them, and you really keep up with some wild things. I mean, from genetically modified foods to, he has a nice article there on magnesium that we talked about, the benefits of cinnamon today. He has a top story on the financial red alert in Europe, standing on the verge of fall down and going boom. And we're going to talk with Andrew Goss and Ron Hera about those same subjects tomorrow. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, vitamin D after this. I'm with Al Carter. He's the world's foremost authority of rebound exercise. Al, one of my favorite things about rebounding for the last 15 years is I do it. I mean, it's not like something I think about. I do it because it's right there, right on my porch, and I just do it.
That's right.
Yeah, isn't that a wonderful thing? And I heard you say that you can do it whenever you're in the mood, not in the mood, or in the nude.
Yes, and anytime you want to rebound, if it's in your own private home, you can exercise anytime you want to, recognizing you're going to build balance, coordination, rhythm, timing, dexterity, and kinesthetic awareness while building muscle bulk and strength.
How about the ladies listening and building up, like firming the bust line and firming the old buttocks? Does it work for that?
Yes, all of those things. But one of the other things it'll do is it'll stimulate or strengthen the sphincter muscles.
Really
those
important.
Ladies who know what a sphincter muscle is knows what we're talking about.
Really important. Order yourself a rebounder right now. Front page, look at the display for the rebounders on OneRadioNetwork.com. Go through PayPal, very secure, don't have to be a PayPal member. Any credit card, ship it via UPS in 3 days or so. It's all yours, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. This is a great time of the year to really sweat a lot and get healthier and healthier. Well, I know you've gone to the gym or have done a sauna or a steam. You feel it's because it just releases toxins to the skin. It's kind of God's way of just getting healthier, sweating. And you can do it with the old jogging and all the rest of it. And we always do it. You can even wrap up in a big sweatsuit and sweat and go out and jog, and that's cool. But it's also cool to get yourself a little portable far infrared sauna. It's not one of these big things with the wood where you have to pay about $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 and find a place to remodel your bathroom or something and break out walls. This is really a neat unit. We have one, and it's under $1,000, and it is very well built. And the controls are down on the floor, and it's made from this kind of space-age quilted material, silver, very sturdy, well-built class kind of chair there, and you put a towel over it, and baby, you can sweat there like whoa. And it is, we think, than the wood. On our website, oneradionetwork.com, click on the sauna link right on the front page or in our store. You can read all kinds of information, and it's a significant purchase with the promo code ONERADIO, $935 delivered through FedEx. Use the promo code ONERADIO, get it for $935 right on the front page, OneRadioNetwork.com.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
to Patrick now, 888-663-6386, or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
Yeah, that's right. If you call that number or email, as the lady said, you can join our Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 Central. In this hour, you can join our show and talk to Michael Hollick all about vitamin D. Man, so many people are talking about vitamin D over the past 2, 3, 4 years. Boy, and especially a lot the last 2 years. And Dr. Hollick is professor of medicine, physiology, and biophysics, director of the General Clinical Research Unit, and director of the Bone Health Care Clinic, and director of Heliotherapy, Light and Skin Research Center at Boston University Medical Center. Poor Dr. Hollick, do you say all that when people ask you, what do you do?
No, I don't.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Wonderful. How about yourself?
No, we're fine. Nice to talk to you. Dr. Hollick has a book out that you just might want to grab called The Vitamin D Solution, a three-step strategy to cure our most common health problems. Dr. Hollick, I thought we could just go out in the sun and just get all the vitamin D we need. What do we need to take extra stuff for?
No question about it. You know, evolutionarily, our hunter-gatherer forefathers really depended on sun for their vitamin D requirement. Indeed, throughout evolution, humans have always depended on sun exposure. And that's probably the reason why there are so few foods that naturally contain vitamin D, because we're always getting it free from the sun.
Mm-hmm. But we have to stay out for a certain amount of time and on the bare skin to get the goodies. Is that right?
That's correct. And not only that, but also it depends upon time of day, season of the year, latitude, and degree of skin pigmentation. So, for example, if you live above Atlanta, Georgia, which is probably just about where you're at latitudinally,
mm-hmm.
right, you basically cannot make any vitamin D in your skin, no matter how long you stay outside, from November through February.
Wait a minute. Above Atlanta, Georgia,
yep.
You're saying that the research shows that, say you live up in whatever, Columbus, Ohio, and you get sun on your skin in the winter, you're not making any vitamin D?
Correct. And even more importantly is, you know, we've been taught, you know, to go out in the early morning and late afternoon, the best time to get your vitamin D, at least damaging to your skin.
Right.
Turns out to be the worst time. You make no vitamin D in your skin until about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and it abruptly ends at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, even at the equator. And but you're getting blasted by UVA radiation, which is the radiation that damages your skin, increases wrinkling, and increases risk for melanoma.
Why on earth would people have evolved to, do you think we would have been smart enough not to live in these places if we weren't getting what we needed? Isn't that interesting?
Well, Mother Nature was clever. I mean, people who, you know, evolved near the equator had very dark skin, but their skin wasn't so dark that it didn't permitted a certain amount of vitamin D producing rays for them to make enough vitamin D. And as people migrated north and south of the equator, they were confronted with a problem because they could not make enough vitamin D, say if they went further north up into Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And by not making enough vitamin D, especially young girls during their early formative years would have had a flat and deformed pelvis, making it difficult, if not impossible, for childbirthing.
Wow.
And so they now realize that Neanderthals, that were thought to be these dark, hairy creatures,
mm-hmm.
are in fact red-haired and Celtic-like skin. And the driver in evolution, I think, is clear. Within a few generations, pigmentation had to have disappeared in order to make enough vitamin D for women to be able to have give birth.
Boy, that's interesting. How long have you been Dr. Hollick, been researching vitamin D?
More than 30 years.
More than 30 years?
Yeah. I happened to be at the right place at the right time. And so the vitamin D, the major circulating form in your blood, I isolated. That was my master's degree when I worked at the University of Wisconsin with Dr. Hector DeLuca. And then for my PhD, I was the one that identified the active form of vitamin D. And I just have been so intrigued by the vitamin D story from those early years that I've just maintained my interest and had a special interest in understanding how your skin makes vitamin D, what the impact of season, latitude, time of day, and even sunscreen use has on that vital cutaneous process.
Very interesting. If you care to join us, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com, PhD, MD, Michael Hollick, on vitamin D, and his book is available, The Vitamin D Solution. His website is Dr. Hollick's D Solution, D-R-H-O-L-I-C-K-S, dsolution.com. So let's go back then. So do you think that most of us then, what about, say, folks in Florida in December and people in the southern spheres, or do they get enough during the winter?
Sure. Well, in southern spheres, of course, it's summertime. And so, in fact, it would be just like summer here. But in Florida, they even showed 40% of Floridians are vitamin D deficient. And it's in part due to the fact that they still don't go out into the sun. And even in the wintertime, they only make about 10 to 20% of what they would make in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Vitamin D is not a vitamin, is it?
Right. It is a hormone. And the reason it's a hormone is that a vitamin means that that you have to ingest. But since you can make it in your skin, by definition, it's a hormone.
And so we get it through skin, through the sun, and through food.
Correct. And so
the body doesn't make any at all?
Well, the body makes it.
Oh, right? That's right.
You're making it in your skin.
In your skin.
And then you can get it from, you know, dairy products that will contain about 100 international units in a serving. You can get it from wild-caught salmon at 500 to 1,000 units in a serving. Orange juices are now fortified with vitamin D. And mushrooms that have been exposed to ultraviolet light are a good source of vitamin D. The mushroom industry realizes that mushrooms have such a good capacity to make vitamin D. They're beginning now to expose mushrooms as they're collecting them to simulated sunlight so that they make vitamin D. And you can go to your produce section to actually find mushrooms that say contain vitamin D.
So if we eat what folks listening to our show, they really understand what a good diet is because we talk about it a lot, Dr. Hollick. If we eat a good, well-rounded, of foods in the most fresh condition possible, we're going to get plenty of vitamin D?
That's the problem, right? And so the Institute of Medicine came out with its recommendation, and it suggests that children 1 year of age and older, and all adults up to the age of 70 should be taking 600 units of vitamin D a day.
600.
Now, where are you going to get 600 from? There's 100 units in a glass of milk or a glass of orange juice. There's about 500 to 1,000 units in a serving of salmon. So if you're eating salmon every day, right, or drinking six glasses of milk or combination orange juice, right, then you may be getting enough to satisfy what the Institute of Medicine recommends. But the Endocrine Practice Guidelines Committee, and I chaired that, recommends that, in fact, children should be getting probably 600 to 1,000 units a day, and adults should be getting 1,500 to 2,000 units a day to prevent and treat vitamin D deficiency. You can't get that from your diet.
Unless you just porked out on salmon and raw milk or whatever every day.
Right. Well, it has to be fortified milk.
Fortified.
Yep.
Well, wouldn't raw, unpasteurized even have more? Or not?
It would not. And the reason is that most cows, if they're not kept out in the pasture,
right,
that they're not making vitamin D.
Right, right. And most cows, unfortunately, are not grass-fed cows.
Exactly.
So grass-fed milk would have more vitamin D.
Right, a little bit more. But that's why even back in the 1930s, right, in Boston, New York City, 80% of children had rickets. And once they added vitamin D to milk, fortified it, they overnight eradicated rickets as a health problem in the United States.
Of course, there's issues, I believe, with drinking homogenized, pasteurized milk, corn-fed cow milk with drugs and antibiotics and then for the vitamin D. I don't think it's a very good choice, but that's just...
It's up to the individual. Yeah. But the bottom line is that there's so little, right, that you can't get what the body needs to maximize health. That's why sensible sun exposure, taking a supplement, you know, and eating foods that are rich in vitamin D, that those three in combination, as I point out in the vitamin D solution, really, you know, is kind of the prescription for satisfying your vitamin D requirements.
So your numbers, or according to all the research, is about 500 to 1,000 for the kids in the neighborhood of 2,000 for adults per day, units, IUs.
Yeah, so 600 minimum for children, and we think 1,000 is probably preferable. And for adults, yeah, 1,500 to 2,000 units a day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have most of my patients on about 3,000 units a day, and that's exactly what I take.
3,000?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that really can guarantee you throughout the year. So even if you're, because I like to cycle and garden, and so I'm outside, I get some sensible sun, but to guarantee I'm always vitamin D sufficient, I make sure that I take 2,000 units supplement, and then I get other sources like for multivitamin and for my food.
Yeah. So what is this vitamin D, this hormone, which is not a vitamin, this hormone, what is it doing with the body? What's it doing, Dr. Hollick, so why we need it?
Exactly. So we'll start out with during pregnancy. There's good evidence that women who are vitamin D deficient during pregnancy are at higher risk developing preeclampsia. They're at higher risk requiring a C-section. Their children born from moms that are vitamin D deficient have a higher risk of developing asthma and wheezing conditions.
The children?
Right.
Asthma. Huh.
Also, we know that if you live above Atlanta, Georgia, for the first 10 years of your life, you have 100% higher risk of developing multiple sclerosis for the rest of your life, no matter where you live. And a study done in Harvard showed that nurses that had the highest intake of vitamin D reduced their risk of getting MS by more than 40%. Framingham Heart Study showed that if you're vitamin D deficient, 50% higher risk of having a heart attack. And if you have a heart attack, you're more likely to die of that heart attack. Peripheral vascular disease has been associated with vitamin D deficiency. The NHANES data, which is the National Health Survey data, showed that if your blood level was less than 30 nanograms per ml, you had an 80% higher risk of developing peripheral vascular disease. Also, we know infectious diseases have been associated with vitamin D deficiency, and a study was done in Japan where they gave school children 1,200 units a day from December through March, reduced their risk of getting influenza A infection by 42%. Also, we now recognize even type 2 diabetes and obesity is associated with vitamin D deficiency.
How do we gauge, say, for example, folks, how much we're getting through the sun and then what we're going to take? Can we take too much?
Right. And you can, but you'd need to take a lot.
Would you?
And so even the Institute of Medicine says that most children over the age of 3 can easily take 4,000 units a day. And adults can easily take 4,000 units a day. The endocrine practice guideline says that adults can easily take 10,000 units a day.
Wow.
We did a study and showed giving adults 10,000 units a day for 5 months did not have any adverse effect. And so we've been frightened about vitamin D, but you don't need to be. So you can get some sensible sun exposure. And I'll give you an example. Okay. If you were out on a beach in a bathing suit and you get a light pinkness to your skin 24 hours later, it's what we call a minimal erythema dose. It's equivalent to ingesting 20,000 units of vitamin D. And so you can go out and be exposed to sunlight. You can be taking a multivitamin. You could take even a 2,000-unit supplement. All of that in combination will not be anywhere near what would cause vitamin D intoxication.
Mm-hmm. And then as the skin darkens, then we absorb less?
Well, you make less.
You make less.
But not by much.
Mm-hmm.
For a white person who is tan, they may get a sun protection factor of like 2 to 4 more, 2 to 4. So they would therefore make about 2 to 4 times less vitamin D for the same period of time they're outside. But it's of little consequence. But for African Americans, it's a big deal, because we showed that African Americans exposed to the same amount of sunlight a Caucasian would be exposed to, no vitamin D at all. They need to have 5 to 10 times longer exposure in order to make enough vitamin D to satisfy their body's requirement.
Dr. Hollick, here's an email from Gary, and he wants you to expound a bit on the case history of individuals who've been documented to sustain a long-term 10-plus cure for the following diseases, things like bone disease, osteoporosis, cancer, schizophrenia, infectious disease. He's got a long list here with vitamin D supplementation.
Right. So there are studies done to show that children born in the wintertime, especially in Scandinavian countries and even in Australia, are more likely to develop schizophrenia later in life. Animal studies have shown that if your if the pups are vitamin D deficient in utero, that their brains are different than pups that are getting adequate vitamin D from their moms during pregnancy. We also know that there is this interesting latitudinal association. The higher the latitude, the higher is your risk for getting type 1 diabetes and colon cancer and breast cancer. And studies have shown that women, nurses at the Harvard Health Study showed, nurses that had the highest intake of vitamin D, a blood level of average of 48 nanograms per ml, reduced their risk of getting breast cancer by 50%. It's estimated somewhere between 200 to 2,000 genes in your body are being directly or indirectly regulated by vitamin D.
So that's why it could have such a broad effect on so many different, quote, diseases, unquote.
Exactly, yeah. Because it turns out that basically every tissue and cell in your body has a vitamin D receptor. And so as a result, vitamin D plays a critical role, whether it be in insulin production in your pancreas, vascular smooth muscle, relax, making renin, which is a blood pressure hormone, inhibiting its production. All of these things are directly or indirectly can be regulated by vitamin D, which then explains why there are so many health benefits by increasing your vitamin D intake.
Vitamin D receptors, what is that?
Sure. So basically, the cell needs to know whether or not it wants to ingest something, right? Because your body is just being flooded with all these chemicals and hormones. And so what they have, it's like a lock and a key. And so the key is the hormone, vitamin D, and the lock is that you can put the vitamin D into the lock. And so that lock that you're inserting the key into is the receptor. And now you turn the key, open up the lock, and you can get inside. So the receptor permits inside the cell to regulate gene activity, which is critically important for regulating cell growth, hormone production, as well as a variety of other biologic processes.
And we have a lot of these vitamin D receptors?
They're everywhere. I mean, they're, for example, in your immune system. They're in your colon. They're in the prostate. They're in the breast. They're in the brain. They're in vascular smooth muscle, in your skeletal muscle. And the list goes on and on. Basically, every tissue and cell in your body has one of these locked mechanisms, and by being able to give those cells vitamin D, it can unlock the genetic information, which is important for, like I said, regulating a whole host of different biologic processes, from preventing malignancy, stimulating insulin production, reducing risk for type 2 diabetes, reducing risk for heart disease.
It's amazing.
The list goes on.
Dr. Hollick, we've had past guests that suggested that various bacteria can turn off the vitamin D receptors.
Right.
Do you have any information about that?
Sure. Well, it's just the opposite, actually. So a macrophage, right, which is the kind of the pack men and women, right, in your body that gobble up infectious agents. But when they, say, gobble up a TB bacterium, immediately the receptors are turned on to tell the cell to make the vitamin D receptor and to activate the vitamin D system. And these cells activate vitamin D, which then tells the cell to make a protein that's basically a defensive protein, then onto the TB and kills it.
Wow. Pretty clever.
Right. We also know that your lymphocytes, right, both B and T lymphocytes, when you activate them, they instantly now get the vitamin D receptor. And now those cells become very responsive to vitamin D. And so now you can regulate your immune system to reduce risk for autoimmune diseases, such as type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, as well as, other infectious diseases.
But so let's see. So the autoimmune process, what if some of the bugs are turning off the receptors? Does that get complicated?
Well, I'm not aware of any data to suggest bugs can turn these receptors off. It's just the opposite. When the bugs come in, the cells instantly recognize it, and they begin to make more receptors.
So you've not seen any data suggested. I think Trevor Marshall with the Marshall Protocol.
Right.
He was the one that has been talking about it.
Right.
And do you then disagree with what he's saying, or have you seen data to support what he's saying?
Right. So basically, what he's done is to say, look, if you take an immune cell and you expose it to vitamin D, that you start to shut down the immune system. And so he's argued by doing so that you're putting people at increased risk for autoimmune diseases and infectious diseases. But what he doesn't realize is that vitamin D does not shut down your immune system. Rather, it modulates your immune system.
It modulates.
Right, so that what it does is if you have an infection, it will modulate it to help fight that infection. If you have, say, a slow viral infection that may be responsible for causing, say, type 1 diabetes or multiple sclerosis, it does the opposite, right? It will shut down your immune system so that it's not overactive to cause autoimmune disease.
So you're saying that this his shutting down and modulation is where you think he got off the path.
I think so. And I think that vitamin D is more adaptive, an adaptogen, where it really is coming in to help maintain your immune function to its maximum capacity, either to fight infection or to prevent it from becoming over-rambunctious, potentially increasing risk for autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm. This autoimmune concept, do you think it's valid? Do you think the body does, in fact, attack parts of the body that it's confused?
I think so. I think the data are pretty clear on this. Hmm. I mean, there's all type of examples, anywhere from Graves' disease, right, which is a thyroid problem. The thyroid becomes overactive because an antibody is being made that it looks like a hormone that should be stimulating the thyroid to make more hormone. Lupus is another good example of autoimmune disease. Rheumatoid arthritis, another good example of an autoimmune disease. So I'm a firm believer that autoimmune diseases do exist. And I think that vitamin D could help prevent them from occurring, not so much that you can use them to treat autoimmune diseases.
Why would the D prevent them?
Because I think what D does as a modulator, it would modulate a robust immune response that could potentially cause these autoimmune problems.
I see, like in rheumatoid arthritis or other things or Graves where it's actually attacking the body.
It would basically shut down the immune system so that it would say, wait a minute, don't you realize that this is not the right target for you, right, that you need to really quiet down. And I think that that's what it does. It tells the immune system what to do.
Well, that's kind of a clever thing if it comes from this great big ball in the sky. I mean, that's logical from an evolutionary
point of view. Yeah, it turns out that vitamin D is the oldest hormone on this earth.
Huh.
Phytoplankton that have existed in the ocean for more than 500 million years
Yeah.
showed make vitamin D when they're exposed to sunlight.
Say that again. Phytoplankton, which is 500 million
years old. Million years, yeah, that have existed unchanged in our Atlantic Ocean for 500 million years.
Yes, sir.
When I grew them up and exposed them to sunlight, they made vitamin D.
And what is that telling you?
It tells us evolutionarily vitamin D has played a critical role in the evolution of life on this planet. And it's had such a long time to be around that it's been able to develop into a a mechanism to really keep organisms, including humans, healthy.
Hmm. So you think then these algaes and phytoplanktons supply vitamin D then as well when we ingest them?
Well, it turns out that vitamin D in the fish is coming from the food chain. So it comes from phytoplankton and zooplankton that are making vitamin D.
Uh-huh. But how about the plankton themselves?
The plankton themselves make it, but the problem is you'd have to eat tons of plankton. So if you really look at the concentration of the food chain, you know, for a ton of phytoplankton, you may only get a pound of salmon.
Because phytoplankton is that microscopic kind of thing that whales eat and krill and all that, right?
You got it.
Yeah, so that's different from algae.
Right.
Blue-green algae, that's different.
Yep.
Okay, I was confusing blue-green algae with phytoplankton.
Yep.
Yeah, phytoplankton is what? It's just microscopic?
Kinda? Yep, they're unicellular plant organisms that, are an incredibly enormous diversity in our oceans and in all our water bodies.
Mm-hmm. Can you stay right there a second?
Sure.
Okay, we're having a good time. This is interesting. Huh? Boy, this fellow sounds like he knows his stuff. Well, if he doesn't, he's making up a good story. Michael Hollick, PhD, MD, Professor of Medicine, Physiology, and Biophysics at Bone Health, the Skin Care Clinic. He's there at Boston University Medical Center, PhD in Biochemistry, 30 years research at vitamin D. Wow. And if you care to join us, you're certainly welcome to do so. You can do that. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Dr. Hollick's book is called The Vitamin D Solution. The Vitamin D Solution. His website, drhollicksd, so it'll be Dr. Hollick's, excuse me, Hollick's plural, dsolution.com. Cool stuff. We love this bio superfood algae product that we've been talking about for 4 or 5 months. The whole family here, which would be Bria the Golden Retriever, Jazzy the Cat, and Patrick Timpone, still a single man for now, is eating the BioAge Bio Food. You can click on a link by Googling this and listen to Dr. Michael Kiriak, amazing professor from Russia, who's working with this bioalgaes. He came down to come with about four different combinations of four different microalgaes. Some red algae, the astaxanthin, and they do it bioreactor thing where they're not exposed to any kind of radiation. They did work in Russia with the animals and the minks and stuff for Chernobyl and try to protect the animals from the factory farming. I've come across a lot of products in my 30 years with being nutritionally aware and involved in radio. And this is one of our favorites. It's called BioAge Bio Food. They have three or four different kinds. They're just different different amounts of intensity. They're all the same product. It's really the more you pay, the more it costs, the stronger it is. So you can just choose whichever one you want. You can call them and talk to them about it. And also download this book called Awakening, The Genius Within, because these algaes, they work on the hypothalamus pituitary axis and really get the brain happy, snappy, and helping everything to work. We love this product. It's right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. It's called BioAge BioFood. Click on it, and when you purchase one, try it for a couple months, we'll get a commission here at One Radio Network, and that's how we support our show because we don't charge for the shows and podcasts. Everything is at no cost. Front page, OneRadioNetwork.com, the BioAge BioFood. Daniel Vitalis, taking pine pollen raises testosterone levels. Why would that be a good thing for the girls?
We're beginning culturally to move past the idea of testosterone for boys, estrogen for girls, because it's a more complex issue than that. Men, of course, use progesterone, they use testosterone, they use estrogen. Women use testosterone as well as estrogen and progesterone. These things are in all of our bodies. And for all of us, what's happening is we're getting into a place of hyperinflated numbers of estrogens and very, very low numbers of androgens. So what will happen is you'll subtly increase the amount of androgens in your body. For men and women, this means increased metabolism, it means more lean body mass, it means higher energy levels. That's where the tincture, the organic alcohol tincture, is a better delivery system because it concentrates that material, it concentrates the androgens, and then it delivers it into the bloodstream of the pine pollen gold or the pine pollen silver that we produce. That's the way to go.
Balancing hormones for men and women. Pine pollen from Sir Thrival. Click on the link and order on OneRadioNetwork.com. If you think there's a lot of companies out there wanting to sell you gold or buy your gold, I don't have a television, but I have heard what's going on out there. You just wait. Gold and silver, precious metals, this is just at the beginning. Wait till mainstream America starts to catch on of the fiat money system and Europe starts printing euros to solve their problems, which they're going to start doing soon. They're doing it already. And then, of course, the United States is $1.5 trillion in the red every year. That's a real number. I'm just not making that up to make it sound big. $1.5 trillion for 2011 fiscal year deficit. Where does that money come from? The Treasury borrows it from the Federal Reserve banks, private organizations. You can go online and find out who owns the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It's not the government, but that's another story. And then they print these dollars, but mostly they just compute them. They create them on a computer screen, and they lend it to the government. And then we pay them back with interest. I know. You don't even want to think about that. But the point is that there's more of these dollars going to be coming out in the stratosphere in the next few years, more and more and more. That's called inflation. And we think that the way to protect from that, the best way, is gold and silver coins. That's our favorite thing because it's real money. It's non-regulated. It's a private event that you have with you and Andrew Goss, who's our money guy, who we have on the show a couple times a week. His company is SDL Incorporated. I trust him as if he were my brother. I've known him for 15 years. Here's his phone number, 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646. He will not sell you anything that you don't need or that you don't want. He is a long-term kind of guy. He says, I want to take care of every person, and he really means it. If you've heard him, you know it. He doesn't want you to have a bad experience, so you tell your neighbor, don't go to that guy. Just the opposite. He's a smart guy. He's a good businessman, and he's an honorable guy. So if you want to get into the gold and silver biz with a few coins here and there or 65 that are just silver with no numismatic value, he has those as well. It's SDL Incorporated, usgoldcoins.com, Andrew Goss, 800-468-2646, 800-468-2646. Tell them I sent you.
Know the source. One Radio Network. Talk to Patrick now. 888-663-6386. Or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
Having a good time talking with Dr. Michael Hollick all about his new book, The Vitamin D Solution. So this is a good time to inject this question, Doc, from Jill in Wisconsin. Can you please ask Dr. Hollick what form of vitamin D3 he recommends, liquid pill, etc., are the superior? Obvious question, and so let's get into that. Is D3 what we're looking for, Dr. Hollick?
It turns out we've done studies to show that vitamin D3 probably is as effective as vitamin D2 in maintaining your vitamin D status. But if you want vitamin D3, there's a lot of good national brands out there. Whether it be in a tablet, in a liquid, or in a powder, it doesn't really matter. We know that basically vitamin D can be absorbed on an empty stomach, on a full stomach, with fat, without fat. There are a lot of misconceptions out there. Vitamin D is very forgiving, and so you can take it in almost any form, and it usually is bioavailable in the body. Also, if you should forget to take your vitamin D supplement one day, you could take twice as much the next day. For a week, you could take seven times the amount at the end of the week. It's not a problem.
So if it says vitamin D3 and we get we get a good one that doesn't have a lot of stuff in there that's weird that we don't understand, we're going to be okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, you know, some of the ones that I've used, you know, are from the local pharmacies. As long as it's a national brand, it's quite good. Also, Vital Choices, I don't know if you've heard of them.
I don't know those.
They have a salmon origin.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. And that's really quite good. And they also have a product that contains salmon oil with vitamin D. So you get both your omega-3 fatty acids along with your vitamin D. So it's a nice product.
Yeah. I heard the Pure Encapsulation has a nice liquid vitamin D, but I haven't tried that. Have you known of that one?
I don't.
So vitamin D3. I would object. I think get the cleanest one you can. Some people add weird stuff, and I don't know why, but have you seen a lot of adjuvants or excipients in the vitamin D that we should be careful of?
Well, I'm not sure you have to be careful of. I think you're right that I try to get vitamin D that is in its purest and cleanest form.
Yeah.
So I do look carefully at the ingredients on the labels, and I'm careful about that. And that's why Vital Choices for me is a good choice, because it's salmon oil that contains vitamin D and omega-3 fatty acids.
And so it's pretty forgiving. Adults, people just tuning in, want to think about 2,000 to 3,000 IUs, the kids about 1,000 per day. Is that right?
Right. That's what I recommend, 1,000 units a day for children and 2,000 units for adults. If you're obese, BMI of 30, at least 2 up to 5 times more vitamin D to both treat and prevent recurrence of vitamin D deficiency.
Why is that?
Because the body fat loves vitamin D and it holds on to it. So if you take in vitamin D, most of it goes into your fat and your body can't use it.
Are there foods or activities and such that deplete vitamin D?
There are no foods that I'm aware of that deplete vitamin D, but there are medications that definitely deplete vitamin D.
Oh, boy.
And they include glucocorticoids, you know, like prednisone, for example, to treat, say, rheumatoid arthritis. Also, anti-seizure medications will definitely deplete your vitamin D. And even, believe it or not, St. John's wort has an ingredient in it that will destroy vitamin D.
I heard that, yeah. It's an ingredient in St. John's wort.
Yep, and to overcome it, all you do is you take about 2 to 3 times more vitamin D.
Here's an email from Alicia. I heard you can go to a tanning salon to get vitamin D in winter. Is this true?
It is true. We did a study in tanners in Boston because we were curious about this. And just for your listeners to know, I don't advocate tanning, right? But those that wish to do it, they should do it responsibly, never get a burn. And we showed that tanners in Boston in the wintertime had robust, healthy levels of vitamin D compared to age and sex match controls that were not frequent in the tanning salon, even just once a week. They were all vitamin D deficient.
But tanning salons, you're saying they have their own other issues that you don't recommend.
Exactly.
Okay.
But for those that wish to do it, because, for example, what if you have a patient that has severe malabsorption problem because of inflammatory bowel disease, and no matter how much vitamin D they take orally, they can't get their blood level up? I'll send them to a tanning salon, and what I do is I tell them, sunscreen on your face, and expose your body for about 25 to 50% of the time recommended for tanning. Take advantage of the beneficial effect of tanning bed and won't damage your skin to any significant degree.
So that's an interesting point you brought up, and it was on my list. We know that it's not what we eat, it's what we absorb, right? So if we have a system, maybe gluten intolerant or leaky gut and those kinds of things, are we not absorbing the vitamin D, do you think?
Absolutely. In fact, we showed many years ago that one of the easiest ways to pick up celiac disease is that if they come in vitamin D deficient and you give them vitamin D and it doesn't do them any good, usually then work them up for celiac disease and often find that that's what they have.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Are you aware of a test that's accurate for testing if one is truly celiac or just somewhat intolerant to gluten?
Well, there's anti-mesial antibodies, right? And then there's the tissue transglutaminase assay, which I use in my clinic. And they're pretty good for picking up. They're not 100%. Nothing is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty good in picking up celiac patients.
Yeah. Is this gluten thing really big, Doc?
It is. It's estimated by some gastroenterologists that up to 10% of the population may be suffering from a gluten-like allergy, and that they're mainly subclinical, so that you don't know you got it.
Right. So there are different degrees, like an allergic reaction, and then the pure celiac, which is really, really devastating to the people to eat it, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's an email. What is a doctor's opinion of a good cod liver oil as a source of vitamin D?
Right. So it turns out cod liver oil is a good source. The problem is you only can take the amount that they recommend because there's also vitamin A in cod liver oil. And you can't take too much vitamin A because it has negative effects on your bones and increases risk for birth defects.
Oh, negative effects on the bones.
Yeah, it can cause osteoporosis.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, we didn't really talk about this.
Yeah, we haven't even got to the bone thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But vitamin D deficiency in adults will precipitate and exacerbate osteoporosis, causes a painful bone disease, osteomalacia, which is often misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia. And often docs are sending patients to me saying, please evaluate my patient has bone pain for osteoporosis. Osteoporosis does not cause bone pain. But vitamin D deficiency, osteomalacia, does. And so I treat many, many patients, and we find that probably more than 40% of patients that have diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia do incredibly well when you correct their D deficiency. It takes about 3 to 6 months to see significant improvement, but these patients do incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. So is D, Dr. Hollick, the key factor here with osteoporosis?
It's not a key factor in terms of treatment. Mm-hmm. What I can tell you is that most of my women in their 50s and early 60s, I put them on adequate vitamin D, adequate calcium, walk 3 to 5 miles a week, and I usually can maintain their bone density.
Mm-hmm. Gloria wants to know if she can look at her children. Are there any symptoms of vitamin D deficiency in their kids? Good question.
And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
That vitamin D deficiency in its grossest form causes severe bony deformities. We don't see that anymore. But I'll tell you what, one thing that if you go back 100 years, a new mom going to her family doctor, the first question that doctor would ask the mom is, does your infant have profuse head sweating at night? It's a classic early sign of vitamin D deficiency in children.
Head sweating at night.
Profuse head sweating at night.
Profuse, not just a little bit.
Right.
What's going on there?
Well, vitamin D plays a critical role in neuromuscular function. And so there's increased neuromuscular irritability, which, of course, is now stimulating the sweat glands to produce more sweat.
This fellow's up in Canada, Dr. Hollick, is Dwight. He's asking about tanning beds. I think we've covered that. He's up in Canada, 45 degrees north latitude. He's way up there. Yeah, not a lot of vitamin D going on here. He says, I take about D tablets, 1,000 IUs per 25 pounds of body weight. Is that good, you think?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I think that, I weigh about 160 pounds. And
right.
I take 3,000 units a day. And the body weight is not an issue with vitamin D. In fact, we treat children exactly the same as we would treat an adult with the amount of vitamin D to prevent and treat vitamin D deficiency. So, for example, even a one-year-old child will give 2,000 units a day for a good 2 to 4 months to correct their D deficiency. And that's what you do for an adult. So we don't think that body weight per se makes a difference. But if you're obese, it does. Now you need to increase your vitamin D intake.
What could you possibly see, Dr. Hollick, in a two-year-old to tell you that they are vitamin D deficient? And do you see that?
Yeah. I mean, the major issues are that often children are more irritable, and just like adults who have fibromyalgia, you know, aches and pains in the bones and muscles,
mm-hmm.
they can't explain it as well.
Mm.
So they're irritable and, you know, sometimes just difficult to deal with. They may very well be suffering from subclinical vitamin D deficiency rickets/osteomalacia.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And by the way, for your listeners, mm-hmm. you can go. I have a different website now,
okay.
Which is just simply drholick.com. It makes it simpler.
Oh, Dr. Hollick singular?
Yep, .com.
.com. DrHollickSingular.com. So what have we not covered here? Because you're the vitamin D guy. Your book is loaded, I know. But what have I not asked you about vitamin D that's important to know? What are some of the most surprising things that you've learned about it?
Well, I think the most surprising thing is the amount of vitamin D that we all require. And the recent literature that shows, gives a couple of examples.
Mm-hmm.
We, just from, again, the National Health Survey, if you use 30 as the cutoff, is what I like to use. Children 1 to 5 years of age throughout the United States, 50% are vitamin D deficient or insufficient. Children 6 to 11 years of age, 70% are vitamin D deficient.
70%
or insufficient.
Wow.
A study was done and showed that children who are vitamin D deficient or insufficient have a 2.5-fold higher risk of having high blood pressure, 2.4-fold higher risk of having high blood sugar, and a 4-fold increased risk of developing potentially type 2 diabetes.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And 70% of the kids 6 to 11. And
were found to be vitamin D deficient.
And that's a real study that you're comfortable with.
Yes, very much so. Because this is a National Health Survey review of data.
Mm-hmm.
And published in a reputable peer-reviewed journal.
Mm-hmm. Are some of these studies that you all talk about, are they separate from the pharmaceutical industry that's, you know what I'm saying? I just sometimes wonder about all these big studies. Are there studies on a university level, I guess, is what I'm asking, that are separate from the FDA and the pharmaceutical?
Oh, by all means. The pharmaceutical industry really has no interest in vitamin D because it's generic and you can't make any money.
Okay.
And so, but a lot of the supplement manufacturers are now getting more involved, which is really quite nice. And we're doing a study right now, for example, looking at how effective vitamin D and mushrooms are in maintaining your blood level during the wintertime.
Hmm.
And we also have a lamp called a Sperti lamp, Sperti lamp. It's the only lamp that was sanctioned by the FDA to produce vitamin D. And we're using that in patients with malabsorption problems like, you know, inflammatory bowel disease.
Well, a Sperti lamp.
Yep.
Sperti.
Yep, lamp. And you can go to my website and you'll get to see it there as well.
At DrHollick.com.
DrHollick.com, yep.
Yeah. And you can absolutely absorb vitamin D from this lamp?
Well, you make vitamin D because it's the lamp puts out.
Okay, puts out what you need.
It puts out exactly what sunlight does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have 30 years under your belt with this. Where are you going? What are you looking for now that you think we're going to, some ideas about vitamin D in the next few years that we don't, what do you suspect that we don't know?
Well, I think that there's a lot to be learned yet about vitamin D and the brain. There is mounting evidence to suggest that cognitive dysfunction, Alzheimer's disease, depression, and schizophrenia may be associated with vitamin D deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, that's a major, major concern and health issue these days as our population is continuing to gray. And all the more reason why we're really encouraging everyone to be aware of their vitamin D status. We don't recommend you need to go to your doctor to get a blood level done, but rather simply, children should be taking 1,000 units a day. There's a product on the market you may know about, Wellesse, W-E-L-L-E-S-S-E. It's a liquid effervescent that contains about 1,000 units, I think, in a tablespoon. So it's, you could put it in some milk or orange juice, easy for the kids to take. And adults should be taking at least 2,000 units a day, and with hopefully other sources from their diet or whatnot, about 3,000 units a day.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So you don't have to go do it. I was going to ask about that. It's not necessary to do a blood test. Why test?
Right.
I mean, if you all have this much research on it.
Right. And because it's just too expensive, it makes no sense. But if you're obese, right, you're taking, say, prednisone or an anti-seizure medication, or you know, you have inflammatory bowel disease, those are individuals that should be checked by their doctors, treated, and make sure that they correct their vitamin D deficiency.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is really interesting stuff, isn't it? And you were at this before it was even cool. Isn't that fascinating? I mean, here you are with your master's and doctorate, and you must have suspected something was up.
Well, it turns out, you know, you never know about this type of, you know, where you're going in life. But I always joke with my colleagues. I said, look, usually you have to die before people appreciate what you've done.
That's right.
And so for me, it's been an amazing experience. I mean, I traveled almost 60,000 miles just in the past 5 weeks. I traveled 3/4 of India and a lot of the Australian eastern coast, all because, if you can believe it, 90% of Indian doctors in Mumbai were vitamin D deficient. 35% of children in New Delhi, vitamin D deficient. 40% children and adults in Australia, vitamin D deficient.
What's that about?
Well, it's simple, right? Everybody avoids the sun. You put a sun protection factor of, say, 30 on sunscreen, it reduces your ability to make vitamin D in your skin by 98%.
Well, a lot of people think the sun causes cancer and wrinkles.
Well, it's just like anything else in life. Too much is good, but a little is definitely good for you. I always recommend protect your face. It's the most unexposed, most undamaged, right? And only 9% of your body's surface doesn't provide you with very much vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
But if you expose your arms and legs, abdomen and back, you know, spring, summer, and fall, to an amount of sunlight, that's about 50% of the time that it would take you to get a mild sunburn, you'll make some vitamin D, and make sure you're taking a supplement. It's the only way to be guaranteed that you'll be vitamin D sufficient. And make sure, you know, you look for some foods. Like I said, mushrooms, wild-caught salmon, you know, some of the dairy products, orange juices are now fortified with vitamin D.
And this fortification, even if the products may be other than the best, it actually gets absorbed in the vitamin D and orange juice and add it and stuff like that?
So we did the seminal study that was used to get the approval from the FDA. Vitamin D is very bioavailable in orange juice. And also the orange juice contains calcium, so you get both your calcium and vitamin D at the same time.
Well, Dr. Hollick, thanks for all your work. Good job. And the book is The Vitamin D Solution. The main website is very easy, drhollick, H-O-L-I-C-K.com, drhollick.com. Thank you for spending some time with us, sir. It's been quite interesting.
My pleasure. Have a delightful day.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, he certainly seems like a credible guy, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, speaking of credible, Andrew Goss will be here tomorrow. One of my favorite days, Wednesday, because we talk about the real world of money. And then a little thing with Ron Hera and all about silver. Hi-ho, silver. Tomorrow, Dr. Richard Massey, Thursday, open phone Friday, then the weekends, and we do it again. Whoa. Thanks to Sharon Kindergeiger for her web page design and co-production. I love you all very much. My name is Patrick Timpone. Take care of yourself.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.